My fellow Canadian, Jan Arden. Jan is a best-selling author and an award-winning singer-songwriter. She's been inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame and has been awarded the Order of Canada. That is one very impressive resume. And on top of all those accomplishments, Jan is now a TV star. She plays a fictional version of herself in the very funny CTV sitcom, Jan. She joined us from her home in southern Alberta to talk about her career and shares how much TV Jan has in common with real life Jan.
I mean, it really is fictitious. I think the only thing that we have in common is that we have musical careers. And it's kind of weird because the show has sort of leaned into my actual music catalog. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes it's very confusing for people. Like, it is my real catalog that we use sometimes. I've had people come up to me thinking that it's a reality show, which always blows my mind. I'm like, oh my God, no, there's nothing real there.
Yeah. Did you know that TV Jan was going to be that much different from Real Jan when you created the show?
I think so. When Leah, my co-creator, Leah Gauthier, sat down and started hammering out the ideas, my character's name wasn't Jan at all. That was kind of an 11th hour decision by the network. They're like, can we just call her Jan and sort of lean into your branding? Which I don't think was a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was a deal breaker. I don't know if that would have stopped them from making the show if I'd said, no, actually, I'm just going to be Nancy Smith. So I think that's when the lines got blurred for sure, is when I assumed my own name and we sort of just went from there.
You two back together.
Let me just say this. This morning, we may have shared a toothbrush.
Is that code for something?
No, we're back together.
Deciding to share a toothbrush comes at the worst time.
Well, she keeps throwing mine away.
Because I just scored Jan a single on the Why Am I Still Single compilation album.
What's that?
An album of singles. Buy singles for singles because people love being single now.
I do miss it sometimes.
Just keep your new relationship status low-key until the single drops. Or until you two inevitably break up again.
Good plan.
I'm certainly not the first person to have ever done that in a show. You know, if you look at the Mary Tyler Moore show, it's kind of a weird comparison, but it wasn't Mary Tyler Moore. It was Mary Richards.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was an interesting kind of a blurred line effect as well. Jerry Seinfeld, it was a character. So it's been done many times in the course of television history, but I think it worked well for us for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I think so too. And then we could even go back to like Gary Shandling did the same kind of thing with his Gary Shandling show. And you're very funny in it, which you're naturally funny anyway. You've always had a sense of humor, but you really got to use that on the show.
That's good. I'm glad you think so.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I think so. I think I know so. You've said that TV Jan is a really late bloomer. And I think that might be the one thing that Real Jan has in common with your TV self. What do you think?
Yeah, I think most people are late bloomers, to be honest. I've always said that you really don't even start becoming a person until you're 50 years old. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think it takes a long, long time to curate who you are. We fall a lot. We make a lot of mistakes as we sort of clamber up the mountain to, you know, figure out what we even like. You know, I have friends in their 40s and I'm like, what do you like to do? And I get the answer like, I don't really know. So sometimes that doesn't really hit you till you're, you know, 55, 60 years old. So it's a long process. I always feel for young people going to university that feel the pressure of having to pick something that they're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've written 3 books so far, and the latest in the Jan Arden trilogy is called If I Knew Then, Finding Wisdom in Failure and Power in Aging. And in that book, you describe yourself as a crone. What do you mean exactly?
Just a crone is somebody who takes no prisoners. You know, if you think about a crone in antiquity, it's like the woman that lived in the woods with a staff and surrounded by birds and chickens and, you know, milking her goat and making potions and having these magical, whimsical qualities and not apologizing to everybody. A crone is somebody who values her own opinion and doesn't worry if her breasts are sagging or she doesn't fit this body type. A crone is somebody who owns herself and has dug deep into her heart and soul to discover what makes her tick. And, you know, for me, really the last 10 years, it's been living with the absence of doubt. And I talk about that a lot.
So becoming a crone wasn't something you had earlier in your life.
No, I don't think so. It's just a result of time. But I've certainly met young crones in my life. I've met 35-year-olds that are extremely comfortable with who they are and don't succumb to social media pressures and fast on their way to just being empowered the way, you know, I didn't feel until I was certainly in my early 50s.
Mm-hmm. Your father died in 2015. What was your relationship with him like?
I didn't have any relationship with him, really. It was very contentious. He was an alcoholic most of my formative years. He was very difficult to be around. He was a quiet person. I mean, in hindsight, he was probably always hungover, so it makes a lot more sense now. When he was up very early on a Saturday, it was because he probably couldn't sleep and his heart was pounding and he had a headache and he was plastered and had been on a bender all week and was frying eggs and bacon and sitting smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee in his chair reading a pocketbook. He didn't really want to see us or talk to us or have us. He always seemed kind of miserable to me, which is sad. He certainly had a few laughs in his life, but, you know, I almost feel like it was too late. By the time he'd quit drinking, his health was in disrepair. So I did feel for him. I felt for him, but it's, Mom would say, you know, the hens have come home to roost. Mm. But I never had a conversation with him really ever about anything. It wasn't until I got successful that I think he really saw me, mm-hmm. that he took notice of me and would tell people, that's my daughter. And it's an age-old story. And I don't doubt for a second that he wasn't proud of me, but it took a lot for me to somehow earn his respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it turned out this non-relationship with your dad, though, that ended up leading to your music career, didn't it?
It sure did. I think good things come out of bad things. And had my dad not been an alcoholic, I would never have spent a lot of time, I mean, hundreds, thousands of hours in our basement listening to records and playing, learning how to play my mom's old guitar. And I started making up songs. And really, that's all I've spent my life doing that.
Mm-hmm. You recently released your 15th album, Descendant, and it's full of great songs. And one of my favorites on the album is a song called Steady On. What is the origin story behind this song?
It was just COVID, very early days. And I think we all thought we would be in our houses for a couple of weeks and be back into the world. And I think 3 or 4 or 5 months had kind of blown by and things were still very uncertain, kind of scary. There was no vaccines or anything yet. The world was making major adjustments, let's put it that way. But I just sat at my kitchen table and I kind of wrote it as an anthem for my friends. How do we find light in the shadows? This is the time, the day, the moment to fly your arrows. Steady on, steady on. You know, just thinking about them and thinking about cheering people on and just how you have to be, have a united front. And that was basically where that came from.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Jan Arden songs is Good Mother from your second album, Living Under June. Your mother, Joan Richards, passed away in December of 2018. If you don't mind my asking, what kinds of thoughts are going through your mind when you sing this song now?
You know, I'll forever obviously think of, you know, my mom's legacy and, you know, just the kind of steadfast person that she was and very practical and no nonsense. And, you know, when I played her the song, oh gosh, 94, when I played it to her, she said, well, I think it's got a really good beat. So I didn't have those kinds of parents that were overly demonstrative or, you know, she loved the fact that I enjoyed the career that I'd chosen. And, you know, they'd come and see me when I came through town, and she always enjoyed the shows, but I mean, the song has taken on its own life. I like the color of my hair. I've got a friend who loves me. Got a house. I've got a car. I've got a good mother. And her voice is what keeps me. I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of letters about it's either being played at somebody's wedding or somebody's funeral. So it's just one of those songs I never thought people could personalize it, just because I thought it was so just my point of view. But people have certainly made it their own.
Mm, yeah, that's good to hear. You've released 15 albums. You've written 3 books. You've starred in your own hit TV series. You're a renaissance woman, or as we'd say in the old country, a renaissance woman. What is left for you to do that you haven't already done?
Oh, gosh, millions of things. I have a novel coming out.
A novel?
Oh. Yeah, it took me, I don't know, I think I wrote on it for 12 or 13 years. I wrote 2 other books in between the novel. So,
yeah,
we're just doing the artwork and finishing the edits, and it's a very interesting story. I'm not going to tell you one single thing about it, unfortunately.
Darn.
I'm doing that. I do my podcast every week and, you know, just touring constantly. My producer and co-writer, Russ Broom, and I are working on another just kind of a passion project. I think we've got 6 tracks done on that now, and I'll probably take the rest of the year to work on it. And we're just doing little bits and pieces at it as we go. But I'll be, you know, doing a bunch of summer stuff and touring again in the fall, touring the book in the fall. So, you know, that'll be interesting. And I'm also in development for a 1-hour crime procedural with Leah Gautier. We just pitched to Paramount Plus, but I don't think they're going to be doing that kind of television right now. So we're just winding up and probably going to go ahead and get the first couple of episodes written on that. So it's sort of a never-ending thing. I'm interested in so many things. I mean, I'd love to go to England for a month with a metal detector and wander the field. So we'll see if I have time to do that.
Yeah. Sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. Jan Arden, thank you for joining us today, and congratulations on all of your successes.
Thank you so much.
Jan Arden is a singer, songwriter, and star of the CTV sitcom, Jan. It's streaming now on the Roku channel. Find out more at wpr.org/beta.
I have to say that I think everybody who ever worked with Peter had chemistry with him. Peter brings the chemistry, he always did, and I can't imagine anyone ever felt any other way when they worked with him.
Coming up, new Heart actor Julia Duffy reflects on her career, including working with the late Peter Scolari. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.